Okay, we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 17 still. Thanks, Al, for fixing the air conditioner. And we're going to start at verse 15. But before we do, let me ask a question. Where is the wilderness? And don't say around Mount Sinai. Or Mount
Olives. Anywhere you find yourself wandering.
This is where we get off the track of Jesus and God.
Okay. All right. So as we look at the story of David and his situation in the wilderness, where did he come from in order to get to the wilderness in the first place? Wait a minute. Is he in the wilderness? He's in the wilderness, all right? But is he in good relationship with God in the wilderness?
Yes.
Everybody said he's in good relationship with God. All right. Even though he's in a bad situation, is his relationship in the wilderness with God better than what it was before?
Yes.
Oh, he said, all right, so wait a minute. But is he enjoying God's best?
Not yet.
No. Do I have any wilderness people here? Folk who are not as bad as you used to be, not where you used to be, but not ultimately where God wants to take you, but so you're in transition.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. Okay.
Crystal Evans, whatever her last name is, Tony Evans' daughter, says it's the messy middle.
Okay, I'll take the messy middle. All right. So I'm drawing on the board where you used to be. You can put Egypt or bondage or sin or trusting in self or pride. All right. Ultimately, we want to be in that place of peace, victory, kingdom, fulfillment, level 7 type stuff. But right now, we're in the wilderness. Now, is the wilderness pleasant?
No.
Is it comfortable?
No.
No. How long do we want to stay there? Not long.
Not 40 years.
Sure, not 40 years. Oh, so why were the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years?
Because they had to learn a lot. They were complaining and mumbering.
God had to do a work in it, and he had to get some stuff out of him because they couldn't take that craziness with them into their next season. Some stuff had to die off. It's the same thing with us. And sometimes we're in our wilderness season because, one, God's trying to show us something. Two, he's trying to take some stuff out of us that we don't want to let go, even though we're holding on to him. There's still some things that we have to let go to really be where God wants us to be so he can propel us into that next season. Anybody got
some?
Pardon me?
It is a blessing.
Yeah. Amen. Now, see, here's the thing. While you're in the wilderness, there's some features or some things or whatever that will help your wilderness situation just a little bit better. What did David have in the wilderness going for him? Before we get into a little bit of the story.
He wasn't alone.
He was not alone. David was not alone. He was not alone. He had God, and he had some other folk who were going through that wilderness season with him. Amen? Got it? All right. Anybody going through this thing alone? Don't let the enemy tell you that you're in this thing by yourself. He's with you, and you got other folk. How many people? Show me hands. How many folk are wilderness saints? Ooh, so you are not alone. You are not alone. All right. So he's got others with him. He's got prayer. What else will encourage David as he goes through this wilderness situation?
He had a Hushai.
Yep. All right. So as we get ready to go into 2 Samuel chapter 17, and David's not here, but I'm going to tell you right now, we ain't going to get through all this. All right, so, especially in we got a baptism. Al is baptizing today, so this is interesting. Yeah, so I don't know when that takes place, but it must be before or something. So we'll see what's going on with all that. Okay, all right. Verse 15. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and Abithar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Okay. Let's look at this. Hushai is telling the priests in Jerusalem, hey, here's what I said, and here's the plan that the enemy has. Go tell David about the plans and what he needs to do. Now, why is it important for David to know both plans? Because it looks bad. Because the enemy, the word is, the enemy has a plan that he's getting ready to execute that's going to take you out or could take you out. So you have to move. But why is it important for him to also know Hushai's plan? Why do you think he should want to know both plans? So it's counterplan. So he sees that the enemy's got one plan, but there's a counterplan. Got it? What do you got?
And both plans are coming after him.
Both plans are coming. Oh, isn't that nice to know? She just said something right there. Both plans are coming after him. One is the enemy's plan, and the other is God's plan. Oh, my goodness. That's powerful. I got to write that down.
Good gracious,
So the word is, two plans are coming after you, or after him, all right? So if it's happening to David in his wilderness experience, then we've got two plans that are chasing after us as well, amen? We got the plan that the enemy has to try to keep us from where God wants us to be, all right? Because that's what happens when you're in transition. The enemy's trying to keep you from transitioning to what God wants you to have in your life, on your job, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your church, in your walk with God. But there's another plan that's better than the enemy's plan, and it's God's plan. We just need to figure out how God's plan works in all of this. Now, what's another good reason for him to want to know both plans? I like that, because he wants to know that both plans are chasing after him and one's going to defeat the other. Amen. Remember what David prayed. He prayed that Ahithophel's counsel would be turned around to foolishness. That was his prayer. And last week we were talking about how it looked like God hadn't answered the prayer because Ahithophel was just, you know, they were listening to him. So when David gets word that Ahithophel has this plan, but I said this, and that word gets back to David, and he sees the difference in the plan, and that, like you said, he had a Hushai, and that Hushai is doing what he's supposed to be doing, encountering the plan that God is using Hushai. How is David going to feel when he finds out about the two plans, considering what he prayed?
Encouraged.
He's going to be encouraged. Why is he going to be encouraged? So here's God's plan for us in our wilderness season. When we start to see evidence that God is answering a prayer, it gives us encouragement that God is still with us in the situation.
Amen. And keep pressing on.
And he's still with us in the situation. So it's important for us to understand and to see that if the prayer's being answered, then God's still with. If he still hears our prayer, he's still with. It may not work out the way we want it to work out, but if he's still listening and hears the prayer, then he's still with us. Ron, what you got?
I was just saying, if he answered prayer, doesn't mean the wilderness experience is over.
No. Oh. Ron just said something. Sometimes when God answers prayer, we think that it's over. We might be getting closer to it being over, but David, why would Ron say that? Because look where David is. He is still in his wilderness situation, but he can be encouraged in that situation because he knows that God is still with him. It's affirmation that God's still with him. So he has to answer some of our prayers in this wilderness situation to allow us to be encouraged because it ain't over yet.
But God's also given him next steps here.
Oh, that would be the next part of my notes. Because the whole... No. So we know what the enemy's plan is, but then God has a plan. God's plan is for him to move and experience Passover while he's in the wilderness. Now, the elements of God's plan are this. So, where's my marker? Let's do this. So here's how this works. All right. If you look at the next verses, verse 17. Now, Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by En-Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench, a woman, went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went, both of them, away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. All right. So, here's what's happening in the story. Hushai has a word. He gets the word to the priest. The priest gives the message to the woman. The woman then goes, tells the two young priests. So Hushai has a word. The word goes to the priest. The priest gives the word to the woman. The woman gives the word to the two young priests. And then the two young priests are supposed to give it to who?
David.
So the two young priests give the word to David, and then David gives the word to the people so everybody can pass over. That's the plan. That's God's plan. That's the plan. All right? Now, as we look at this plan, we see in the story that, and it's over at verse, take a look at verse, got it in my notes, take a look at verse 18. That was the plan, but in verse 18, something happens. A lad sees them, all right, and then he goes and tells Absalom. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be no snitch. All right, so the lad goes tells Absalom. Absalom sends his servants looking for the two priests. Question: why would Absalom want his servants to find the two priests?
So they don't take the word.
So they don't take the word to David. Got it? All right. So the enemy's plan is to try to stop the two priests who have this message and to keep from getting the message or the word to David. Application for today.
Cutting off communication.
Cutting off communication. Oh, I like that. I don't have that in my notes. That cutting off of communication, not good. That's the enemy. I got to write that down. Cutting off communication is a plan of the enemy. Cutting off communication with your spouse, cutting off communication with your kids, cutting off communication with your boss, cutting off communication. That could be a plan of the enemy. Got it? All right. Why else? Application for today. The enemy, Absalom, trying to keep the priest from delivering the word to David. Application for today. Oh, think about it now. God's plan is what? To get the word to the people. Application for today. God's plan is to get, wait a minute, how many folk here were in the wilderness? So God's plan is to get you a word in your wilderness situation. That's his plan. Anybody in the story with me? Mm-hmm. All right. But. When the enemy finds out that God has a word for you, just like in the story, the enemy's going to try to do whatever he can do to do what?
To distract
keep or to keep you or to seek the destroy, to keep you from getting the word. Still works today. Why does the enemy not want you to get the word? Oh, you ain't got to answer that yet. Let's ask the question here. Why does Absalom not want David to get this word?
Because he wants to destroy him.
Wait a minute. Absalom, I got to write that down. Absalom doesn't want David to get this word because he wants to destroy him. That must mean, parenthetically, the word must be able to help David keep the enemy from defeating him. So there must be something about the word that the enemy doesn't want you to get, because if you get that word, then it defeats the plan of the enemy and he can't take you out and kill you like he wants to.
Well, the word changes everything. And when you get a word, that's something you can stand on and fight with.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying if David gets this word, it'll give him the strength and the basis on which to stand and to fight from. And rather than having a pushover, the enemy, if you get this word, is going to have a formidable fight. Let me write that down. If I get this word, I'm just writing this down, the enemy is in for a fight.
Wrestling a fight through the messy middle.
Well, the word itself, it is a sword. It cuts through. It is the truth.
Wait a minute.
It does the fighting for us.
So wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me the word is like a two-edged sword? That cuts going and coming. It cuts. Are you trying to say that the weapon of the Holy Spirit is the word? Doesn't the Bible say that? And when we talk about the shield and we talk about the armor, and the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So part of the reason that we're in the wilderness experience is because without the word, the Spirit has nothing in which to operate in to be able to fight your battles. Because if you ever fought a battle without the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know how that turns out. And so God sometimes leads us in a wilderness situation. So not only do we have a word, but then we'll have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can use that word to defeat some things that are coming after us. Okay. So Absalom doesn't want David to get this word, because if David gets this word, he'll know how to move, and it's going to be that much harder for the enemy to kill him. So the enemy's plan is for you not to get this word. But God's plan is to get you the word. He can still get you a word. That's the plan. While you're in your wilderness or tough situation. Okay? Let me keep going. I'm going to go for about another 4 minutes or so. Now, if he doesn't get the word, looking at verse 16, then he won't know to speedily pass over, and the king and everybody with him might get swallowed up or defeated or surrounded or taken out. So what you're going through is not just about you. That's why it's critically important that you receive the word when it comes, because God's going to make a way for you to get your word. That's why I was so happy that you guys said, I know we normally have Bible study at 9:30, but you wanted to come at 9 o'clock so I can just get you a little bit of word. All right? Show you about the plan of God. All right, here we go. So now, we got Hushai getting the word to the priest. The priest gets the word to the woman. The woman gives it to the two young priests. But then we see that in verse 18, they find out that they've been spotted. So where do the two priests have to go? What do they have to do in verse 18? They have to hide. All right? Where did they hide?
Well.
How did you get down in the well? I just gave you the answer. You got to climb down. So you got to be down in the well. Oh, yeah, you got to be humble. You got to get down in the well. All right? You got to be down. All right, this works better in the prison. You got to be down. Now, while they're down there, the woman does what? Covers them up. Why is she covering them up?
Protection.
But to keep... To keep the enemy off of them and to help them do what? Get the word.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know the woman's name. I don't even know if we've read this story, if we even paid much attention to the woman. She's an unknown. But do you see the critical part that she plays in the story?
Absolutely.
Because without the woman, they're going to have a hard time getting the word to David. In the wilderness, it's God's plan for us to have somebody that'll help cover us while we're down. It may come from an unlikely place. Oh, wait a minute. You thought that your word was going to come through the pastor and the preaching and stuff like that. Well, yeah, absolutely. But there might be somebody behind the scenes that helped that preacher or that pastor out to get that word to you before you get it. In fact, it might be so significant that you don't even understand it, but they might not be able to get the word to you without it. You know what? What does that look like today? Let me help you out. And Ron said something. It's the caregiver. It's the one who works behind the scenes. We pray for the ones being cared for, but do we also recognize and celebrate the caregivers who allow them to be used by God in order to help them get their word? It's the person, because I'm getting ready to go back there in just a minute. It's the person who brought the juice and those refreshments back there, because some of you wouldn't even come unless you knew that there was something to eat. It's whatever facilitates and helps getting you to where God wants that word to be. And don't wrap that stuff up yet, because I'm going to go and get something, because I want to... I was telling the inmates today, as I was sharing with them some elements of the story, what is the support ministry that helps the word? Somebody gives me a cup of water. Every time I show up there, I had a cup of water with some ice in it. I keep telling them not to put the ice in there because that kind of messes up your vocal cords when you're talking about it. But I just, you know, and somebody, I'm like, you know what? That helps the word get to you guys. They're sitting there and they're thinking, what can I do that will help get the word to the people? I'm like, man, your handshake and your smile. You flash them pearly whites with a little gold up there in your front tooth or whatever, you're going on flash them pearly whites, and you have a handshake. That might be the covering. That might be the thing that helps somebody receive the word. Come on now. Now, some folk come to Bible study. Some folk come to church, and their interest ain't nothing about getting the word. Some of them might roll up in there just to see, okay, what's that little skinny piece you got to say or whatever. You know, I really ain't, you know. Some people come to church, but they really ain't into it. Or some people come to church, and they're very defensive. And the walls are up. And they're in church, but the walls are up, and you got to try to bring those walls down. What is it that's going to bring the walls down? Maybe it's the preaching, but man, if the walls are down, then come on now, it's almost like the parable of the sower and the seed. If the ground is hard and the heart is hard, you can throw the word out all the time. It ain't getting in. What can break the heart and bring the attention back to the word so when the preacher reaches them with his message, there's fertile ground and has something to slip in? It could be your smile. It could be your handshake. It could be whatever you do in love that you won't get credit for.
Son does that. For Sunia, when Sunia comes, son will say to him, "Are you coming back next week? You promise." And then that plants the seed for her to want, desire to come back.
It breaks the ground up so the seed will get planted. God will always give you a role or a place in the wilderness situation. And all I am is just a... And you know what? Here's the neat thing. And we're going to talk about this with her because some commentaries... Because she's going to lie in a minute. She's going to lie. And some commentaries say, oh my God, she lied. And lying ain't a good thing. So we're going to cover that next week. Because I'm going to tell you, I got a different perspective on that. Lying is not good, but I don't know if she really lied. So we're going to talk about that next week. But this is as far as we can go this week. But I hope you're encouraged. Because if your prayers are being answered to a certain degree, he's still with you. And if he hasn't answered your prayer yet, maybe you need to start praying, or maybe it's on the way. But you got to know that he's with you in the wilderness season, because he did not leave Israel in the wilderness to leave them there. The purpose of you going through the wilderness is to get you to the other side. That is the plan of God. Here's something else that we can get from today. It's not just about us. Because the purpose of David getting that word is so that everybody can pass over. Oh, here's something else too. You might be in your wilderness situation so that you can pass over. Because you can pass over and be delivered while you're in the wilderness. That might be the reason why you're in the wilderness in the first place. To let you know the power of God and the plan that he has for his life. You ought to be encouraged if you're in the wilderness. Because you're not as bad as you used to be, but you're not ultimately where God's going to take you. You're just in transition. And there's an expiration date on your wilderness season, because the best is still in front of you.
Amen.
And then the other parts that we see is while the enemy is trying to stop us, if you hold on to the plan of God, wait a minute, somebody ought to be encouraged. Let me ask this question. Did anybody get a word today?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. You already said you're in the wilderness. And based upon what we've had in this short time, you're saying that you just got a word?
No, every week.
But in every week or today, if you got a word today, you ought to be encouraged. You ought to be getting ready to praise God. Because that lets you know that his plan is in effect. And whatever the enemy has for you is about to be defeated, because he just gave you a word. Now, next week, I'll tell you what you need to do with that word. Because some people get the word and they still get swallowed up in the wilderness. Because getting the word and receiving the word and applying the word is two different types of word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Anybody got anything else they want to share? Everybody get blessed?
Yes.
Somebody got blessed out of this?
Yes.
All right, then I'm going to shut.